Just take a moment and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for being our all in all. Everything that we even hope for, you supply. And Lord, I know that sometimes it seems like this world is dealing us a rough hand. And I'd like to just hope that through this message and through the time that we spend together at this time, Lord, I pray that you would clear that up. You'd help us to realize what this life is all about and what we really have in our possession. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts, change us from within. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does salvation mean to you? That's the question that came up in my mind this week. And I had to be truthful when that question came up. You know, I don't know, some people kind of get scared when you say God talks to you, but you know, I really think that when he does things in your life, he kind of says things in a way that you know, you're not sure exactly where it's coming from, but you know that it's challenging you in some way spiritually, and so you have to dive in and find out what exactly is being brought to you. And so when this question came up, what does salvation mean to you? I think that we generally, and I know I have, taken it for granted. You know, we live our lives and we run around and we got to work, and mainly our goals in working is to get to retirement. And I don't know. I think we just kind of forget how much salvation is, what it really means, and what we've and how we've obtained it. I'm reminded, actually, this came to me too. It was at night. I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden this image came to me, and it was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And this picture, this imagery came to me. Remember, I don't know how many of you watched or saw that movie, but at one point in the movie, they were traveling through this chamber, and they got to this room, and Indiana Jones, he said to Short Round, which was his little friend, Oriental friend, and he said, "Don't touch anything." And Short Round stepped backwards, and he stepped on something, and the doors closed, and they were trapped in this chamber, and it started and Indy was, you know, he's looking around, he's saying, "Well, you know, I think we can get out of here," and all of a sudden the roof started coming down. And these spikes came out of the roof and out of the floor. And they're trying to stop it with everything they can, but finally he's screaming out of this room through this little hole. He's screaming, you know, "Help, help." There was this woman named Willie. And she came down this corridor, and there's bugs all over, and skeletons, and yucky things, and she's like, "Oh, oh," and these centipedes and crawling all over her and things, and she gets to the wall where, you know, he's behind the wall, and he's screaming, "There's got to be a fulcrum, a lever, you got to pull it." She says, "I don't know, I can't do it," and he sticks his hand out of the hole. "We're going to die if you don't pull the lever." And so, of course, in the hole is this, all the bugs and the oofy slime and everything. She's got to reach her hand in and pull this lever to save them. She saved them, of course, as the story goes, and everybody was good. Saved from a horrible death. This spike was coming down across Indy's head and across his hat. And they would have been crushed to death had they not been saved. We too have been saved from a horrible death, an eternal death, into a glorious life, eternal life. Now, we may not view it the same way as Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, that we had the walls coming down upon us. But I want to tell you, the death that they would have gone through would have been a piece of cake compared to eternal death. And so I want us to evaluate and look at salvation, the salvation we have, and I think we will appreciate it much better. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1845, in your pew Bibles, 1845, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1845 in the Pew Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. First Peter 1, starting in verse 3, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And as you go through this scripture, the first thing you come to in verse 3 is a new birth into a living hope. This is what we are given, is a new birth. Now, I know some of us, as we've lived our lives, we've maybe said, you know, man, if I could just go back and start all over again. If I could just, you know the things I know now and then go back and change what I've done and how I've gone about it. You know, things would be different. Well, God has given us a new birth. He's changed us. He's wiped out our past and given us a new future. And this new birth is a living hope. But look how it came. It came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us so we could have this new birth. You know, it wasn't free. It came with a price. And Jesus willingly gave His life up so that we could have this new birth and this living hope. It's into an inheritance, in the next verse, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Nothing can happen to it. You know, it talked about, it's kept in heaven for you. You know, He doesn't want you to keep it, because you'll lose it. He's keeping it for you. And it's in heaven, kept, and it's not going to perish, never spoil, or fade. It's a little bit about security of salvation, I believe. You know, we could have put it in a bank here in this world, but we know that banks, eventually stuff's going to happen. I mean, there could be an earthquake. There's been earthquakes in different places, and banks have been busted open just as well as anything else. I mean, people loot stuff, and they take things, and it's like we heard about on the news, there's a bank in Germany, and they sold all these gold bonds, and now the people want their gold, and they don't have it. Uh-oh. Somebody sold something they didn't have. You ever been there? We don't expect that from a bank. We expect that from maybe some fly-by-night guy, you know, selling us something, and he Craigslist thing or something. You go to get it, and they don't have it. But we don't expect that from banks. Well, God is not a bank. And He's kept our inheritance, our salvation, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He's keeping it in heaven for you. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can loot it. Not going to be taken away. Now, it says in verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power. You know, that shield, of course, is a military term, and it's that shield in front of those military guys, the guys in the armor and stuff, and sometimes the shield's big, sometimes a little smaller, but it's a shield to protect. It's to protect us by His power. Now, does that mean that we aren't going to suffer? No. Because in verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It's not fun to go through trials. It's grievous. It hurts. You know, I know the trials that I've been through, and I've shed a lot of tears alone going through some of those trials. You know, and it's a difficult thing to go through. But God is shielding us. How is He shielding us if we're going to go through this suffering? He's shielding us spiritually, in our faith, in our belief. He's shielding us because salvation is ours. It's kept in heaven, never going to perish, fade, or spoil. It's keeping all that by His power. He's shielding us from that effect. But oh, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through hard times. But look at verse 7, what it's for. It says, these have come, these sufferings, these trials, these testings have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold. You know, we think that gold is pretty cool. You know, now the everybody's, you know, commercials on TV and everything else is, you know, buy gold. Protect it. You know, I mean, back in the 70s, they took the gold standard away from your dollars now. So your paper money is just that. It's paper. And the government just says it's worth so much. So we use it, but it's just like I could put my picture on a piece of paper and write a 5 or a 500 and give it to somebody and say, yeah, it's good. They're going to laugh at me. But because the government's behind the paper, then we say it's okay. But gold, you know, gold is like, that's the thing. You know, we want to have gold. But you know what? Gold is even going to perish. I don't know how many people still have the gold back in the old days, back in the Jewish days, still have the gold they had when they first started out. You know, you spend it. It goes. It disappears. You refine it, and you make it all nice, but you know, you lose some gold in the refining process, too. But it says here that we're a greater worth than gold, even though it perishes refined by the fire, but we want to be proved genuine and result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's refining us here in this world. So when we appear before Him, you know, we're going to be better than what we were when we started out, when we first believed. We're going to be better. He's refining us, making us better. You know, the trials that I've gone through in my life have prepared me for what I'm doing right now. He will prepare you for something. I don't know what it is, but He's preparing you for a purpose. And it's in these days. Now, you know, last week I talked about these are the last days. I mean, I cannot see how things can go any more different. We have all the things in place that we need for the final end, for the rapture, for the Christ coming again. And we have been chosen for these times. You could have been born 100 years ago. You could have been born back in the medieval times. But you're born now. And you have a purpose. And God is refining you and using these trials in your life to make you a better person, to make you a stronger person. I heard somebody tell me one time, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I wish they hadn't have said that. Because I don't want to go through those things. I don't like it when I hurt. I don't like it when I go through the things that test me to the very point of, you know, they say, people have had them come to me and tell me, and I know exactly what they're saying. I'm at the end of my rope. I say, I know exactly what you mean. It's like being in the floodwaters and you're up to your nose. And you know you only got just so much to go. And it's over. But verse 8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible joy and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. Wow. You know, why is it? It's that faith. It's that trust. It's that confidence. Why? Verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now just think about that for a minute. The salvation of your souls. I'm complete. I have nothing more to prove or to compete for. My salvation is secure in heaven, not going to perish, fade, or spoil. And no matter what happens to me in this world, I'm saved. Saved from a horrible death into eternal life. Now, we're going to suffer. You know, that comes up again, and I want to touch on that. Because although we suffer, it is not God's wrath. I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians for that one. 1799 in your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1799 in the pew Bibles. 1799, chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Just the two verses, verse 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as the breastplate, and hope of salvation as the helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You see here, we're not here to suffer God's wrath. God has saved us. There's no wrath from God for us. But you know, He does want to make us better. He wants us to grow in our faith. Remember that one scripture in Romans 8 that says, that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. The reason it says that is because the trials we go through and the testing we go through is to make us better. And God will use it to make us better. Our strength is in our faith, our love, and our hope of salvation. It's not in the worldly things. It's not in, you know, the confidence that, you know, I have this or I have that, our possessions or whatever it might be that you cling to. That's not our hope and our faith. We can't put our faith and trust in those things. Our end is salvation and to be with Him. And so that's why it says here, we're not appointed to suffer wrath, but we're going to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation means heaven, finally heaven. We're saved, we're ready, we're given eternal life already, but we're to encourage one another and build each other up with those words. That this is what God has given us, and we don't have to fret, we don't have to be worried about what goes on in this life. I want to look at a couple more scriptures before we close. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 809. 809 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 37. 809. 37 and starting in verse 39. Those two verses. Psalm 37, 39 says, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Now, I want to just point it out. We're going to look at another scripture first in Psalm. But I want to point it out that stronghold is a military term again. Let's go to Psalm 62 and get the gist of the rest of that. Now, it's 834 in the Pew Bible, but Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Well, that's a strong two verses, isn't it? Well, here he uses fortress. Stronghold and fortress are basically the same word in the Hebrew. Fortress and stronghold. It's a military term for protection. Now, you know, if I go out to fight the enemy, I'm going to put the armor on. And we're told that in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. So I put on the helmet, I put on the shield, I put on the breastplate, I put on the shoes, and I go out and I fight in the field. But you know what? I'm rather vulnerable. Because even though I have a shield and I have a sword to protect myself and fight the enemy, but I also have gaps. You know, where, I mean, you can't have armor where your elbows are, and you've got to be able to bend them. You can't have them too much where the knees are, because you've got to bend them. You got some gaps around. You can't have a complete armor. You'll never be able to move. So you got to have some protection, but you're still vulnerable. But hey, how about if I get into the fortress? The stronghold. It's built out of blocks or rocks. And it's this tower. And it's this fortified thing. And I'm inside this thing. And I got this little window that I can shoot out of to again, attack the enemy as the enemy attacks me. But you know what? Things can happen inside the fortress. I'm protected from the enemy, but things can still happen inside the fortress. Now I can fall down and break a leg climbing up the stairs. I can get sick. You know, I can even die in the fortress. But is that anything against God? No, it's not. Because He's the fortress. He protects us, spiritually speaking, from the attack of the enemy, Satan. And when we stay in His protection, we stay in protected from the enemy, Satan. He's trying to get at us. But you know, some of us think, well, I'm pretty tough, you know, and I'm going to go out on a raid. I'm going to raid the enemy. You know, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to, you know, kind of sneak around and get out of the fortress. And, you know, it doesn't go well when you sneak around. Because Satan, he knows when we're vulnerable. He knows when we aren't protected fully. When we get out of the fortress. You know, we got to stay in the fortress. Doesn't mean that we're homebodies and we never get out. But spiritually speaking, we stay in the fortress. We stay in His protection. We got to stand close to God. We got to get into the Word. We got to get into prayer. We got to get into the things that He wants us to get into. The book of life is going to be opened on that last day. Now, the great white throne is for those who are not believers. The great white throne mentioned in Revelation, in the end of Revelation, is for all the great and small, the rich and the poor, and all those people who never trusted Jesus as their Savior. And that last day, in the end of time, they're all going to stand up before God. The Bible says that all people, no matter who they are, ocean death, burning a building death, no matter how they die, they're all going to stand before God. And God's going to open a book called the Book of Life. And if their names aren't in that book, they're thrown into the lake of fire. It's called the second death. It's bad enough to die once, but this would be the second death. Those who have not trusted Jesus will stand before God in that way. Those of us who receive Jesus as our Savior will not stand in that judgment. We'll be judged in a different way. We'll be judged just by our salvation. And Jesus will stand up and say, I died for him. And I'll be behind Jesus. And he's going to say, it's my righteousness, not his. And God the Father is going to look at Jesus and he's going to say, yeah, he did accept you. You did pay the price for him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. But those who did not, and Jesus will also be standing there. And you know, I remember there were times where the hospital would call me. And they'd say, so-and-so's in the hospital. And they say, Praise Chapel is their church and you're the pastor. I said, you know, I try. I don't recognize their name. I don't know them. Turns out, you know, they never came to the church, but they just thought and felt that Praise Chapel was their church and that they put their name on there and they said, you know, I want the pastor to visit me. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'll come visit, but I don't know them. And some people would put my name down on a reference for a job or something, and the people would call me and I would say, you know, I can't say that I know them. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know who they are. And in the same way, on that day at the great white throne, the people are going to stand there in front of God and Jesus, and they're going to look at Jesus and they're going to say, Jesus, I even taught Sunday school once in a while. I came to church Christmas and Easter. I served you. Not really. But I liked my life the way it was, and you were just convenient. When I needed you, you know, I'd come and pray. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, I don't know you. I'm sorry. But depart from me. That's what we're here for, is to know him. Salvation that didn't come free and easy. Jesus was beaten and hung on a cross so that we could be saved. And we have a salvation that is great. A salvation that is beyond belief. That Jesus would do that for me and you and pay the price for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And I want to tell you, we probably will never know how much of a sacrifice it was until we get to heaven and see him. Don't let another day go without God's gift of salvation. He died for you. You may not believe it, but he still did it. You may not want the gift right now. You may be thinking, well, I can do it on my own, but I'm telling you, you can't. If you stand before God, if you die and stand before God, or if you wait until it's too late and Jesus comes and you're left behind, if you wait and stand before God without salvation in Jesus, he won't know you. Pray and ask him to come into your life. I'll get choked up now, but I want us to bow our heads and pray. If you haven't asked Jesus in your heart, I'm begging you to do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And maybe there's some people here that have just been running through life 100 miles an hour, haven't had time to give you a time of day. Maybe they're here first time. Maybe they're here for a long time, but just haven't turned their life over to you. For whatever reasons it is, doesn't matter. Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that they will give their life to you. Lord, I pray that you will impress upon them how important it is And Lord, that we as believers would realize how great a salvation we have in you. And Lord, that we would be praising you with every breath, that you would do this for us. And that someday I'll be standing before you and I can praise you face to face. And you have given me eternal life. Lord, there's no expression of gratefulness that can match that gift. Thank you so much. And I pray that we would be urged and nudged and challenged to share our faith, to tell others about it. They may reject it, but that's not our problem. We need to go out. We need to tell people. Or at the very least, invite them to church so they can hear the gospel. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done in my life. And I pray that you are doing that in the lives of people here. That they would just pray, Jesus, please come into my life and save me. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. And thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Up on the screen, I got my phone number, cell phone number. If you have asked Jesus in your heart, I want to give you stuff to help you with your faith and with your journey as a Christian. And so text me and let me know, and I will be happy to give you all the materials you need. So we're going to close our service today with To God Be the Glory. And we're just going to, it's the first and last verses that's up on the screen. Let's all stand. To God be the glory.